You are Locked On Bears, your daily Chicago Bears podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Bears, and I'm your host, Lauren Cox from Pro Football Focus. We are in full post-draft Bears analysis mode here on Locked On Bears, and so today we're going to take a deep dive into James Daniels, the Bears' first second-round pick, the offensive lineman out of Iowa. I will be joined by my friend Brandon Thorne. He is a Twitter draft expert and the football content manager for the Scouting Academy. He's got experience working with NFL personnel. He's got a great evaluation mind, particularly for the offensive and defensive lines. So he's going to come in, give us his scouting report on James Daniels, and we'll talk about how this whole Bears offensive line comes together, maybe some of the concerns, some of the strengths, and look at generally where the Bears stand, particularly in relation to the rest of the NFL offensive lines. Brandon and I are going to get into some of the finer detail of offensive line play. So if you have any questions when it's all said and done about anything we talk about in this podcast, you can always reach out to me on Twitter at CoxSports1. I'd be happy to clarify anything we go over, but I think it's important to really get into some of the minutiae here as we try and understand this offensive line prospect and how he's going to fit into this Bears offense. I really think you're going to like a lot of what Brandon has to say, so let's bring him on. Joining us now on Locked On Bears is Brandon Thorne. He is the football content manager for the Scouting Academy, where he co-hosts the Tales of the Tape podcast with Dan Hatman. He also writes for NDT Scouting, a place where we've had many guests from throughout this draft season. Brandon is also a veteran of the Air Force, so Brandon, thank you for your service. People can follow Brandon on Twitter at Veteran Scout. Welcome to the podcast.
Hey, thanks for having me, man. I'm excited to be here.
Well, you are a guy that focuses on the offensive and defensive line. You're a little bit of a trench junkie. And I guess before we dive into this Bears offensive line, I'm just kind of curious, how did you go from the Air Force to getting into scouting like this, working for the Scouting Academy and writing about football all the time?
Yeah, so I had an opportunity to voluntarily leave the Air Force after about 8 years of active service, and then I did 2 years in the Guard, but they were downsizing at the time. So I'd always wanted to be a scout and or be involved, you know, with football or the NFL in any way I could. So right when I kind of figured out that I could get out, I started to reach out to people, just, you know, establish social media accounts, stuff like that. And I did an internship with a pro indoor team here in Colorado in 2014 when I got out. And that led to meeting Ted Sundquist, who was former general manager of the Broncos, but he was another Air Force veteran. He kind of took me under his wing, and he was my mentor for a couple years. I did a podcast with him, went to the Senior Bowl on behalf of his website, and just learned a lot from him. And that led to meeting Dan Hatman with the Scouting Academy. And I did 2 semesters as a student through that, and then got invited to the live classroom that they do at the Senior Bowl. And then that just led to me eventually working for Dan. And I just established some connections along the way. I interviewed for an NFL scouting job last summer. I didn't wind up getting that, but it kind of really helped me establish some more connections. And the offensive line specifically was a position that I played in high school, and it was a position that I think, you know, is generally kind of misunderstood and just doesn't get a lot of attention. So I wanted to really focus in on that. I thought I could carve out a niche. And so far I've had a lot of great people that have helped me do that, you know, with the people I mentioned, and then like Duke Anyweather is a mentor of mine, and the Charles Bentley. And I went down to his clinic in Arizona a couple of years ago and spent some time there. And, just trying to, you know, learn from the guys that have come before me that know a lot more than me about it. And they've just been really gracious with their time. So that's kind of how I've gotten started.
Well, your resume certainly adds a lot of validity to your evaluation and certainly the process of which you go about it. comes from a pretty smart place. And that's why I wanted to bring you on here to talk about this Bears offensive line, specifically with the addition of James Daniels in the second round last weekend. They needed someone to fill in on the interior of this offensive line. They let Josh Sitton go. And I guess I want to start there. Did you have a chance to watch much of Josh Sitton in the last couple of years? And did it surprise you that the Bears chose not to pay him? I think it was $8 million on a team option. They let him go, and he signed with the Dolphins, I think, for like $6 or $7 million. Was that a move that surprised you, or do you think there's been some decline there?
It did surprise me a little bit. You know, I'm a big Josh Sitton fan, you know, dating back to probably 2015, I think, is when I first watched him with Green Bay. And, you know, I was always enamored with how incredible he was at jump setting guys and pass protection and getting his hands on guys. He played a very aggressive style in pass protection that him and TJ Lane both did in Green Bay that I just didn't see very often prior to him. So he was really unique in that regard. And I watched him last year quite a bit, and I thought he was still, you know, he's a technician, you know, in pass game and the run game. He's phenomenal with his hands and just has an advanced understanding of leverage, I think. And you could see that in the way he plays the game. Obviously he's getting older. He's had injuries, you know, throughout his career a little bit. And, you know, I think that maybe they just wanted somebody a little bit more versatile, somebody who can get out in space maybe a little bit more, you know, who can move maybe a little bit better, you know. So I thought that was probably his one kind of area that you can look at and say that, yeah, we could probably upgrade this. But in terms of like hand usage and all the, you know, nuance of, you know, what makes, you know, crafty veterans crafty, I guess, is kind of how Sitton is to me. That's kind of what he embodies. But yeah, so I was a big fan of his, and but obviously he's at the tail end of his career, and you know they were able to get an exciting young player to replace him.
Yeah, let's move to that exciting young player now, because I think a lot of people were high on James Daniels before the draft. Some people had him as a first round prospect. I certainly thought he'd go right around there. There was the sort of the knee concern that maybe had him drop a little bit, and I have a few concerns about his overall strength, but could you give me just your general scouting report on James Daniels, what you like, what he needs to improve on, and how you see his NFL career developing?
Yeah, Daniels was my number four overall offensive lineman in the draft, number two center behind Ragnow. And, you know, I think he was number two mainly because I did, you know, you mentioned play strength, and I thought that that was an area where, you know, he was probably average to above average in, and some, you know, an area that he may see a little bit of struggle with, you know, initially as a rookie. But definitely he has, you know, as far as the good, I think, you know, he's a very good athlete on the field. He has outstanding play speed, you know, especially in the zone run game to hit. Yeah, I think hit landmarks, you know, when he's uncovered and they're blocking outside zone and he has to travel to that second level, he can cut off linebackers probably better than anybody in this draft in terms of the range that he had and just the angles he took. He's very quick and explosive, has very good hip flexibility, something that I noticed, plays a good pad level, good hand usage. You know, he's Iowa lineman, so you know, you could see a lot of that technical refinement in his game. Typically, you don't see a prospect to his caliber, you know, physically on the interior at Iowa. So to put somebody like that, kind of a physical specimen like that, you know, in an Iowa system, I thought that's what made him so special. You know, he not only is an excellent athlete with great play speed, but he's, you know, pretty technically sound, I think. And in pass protection, I really liked what he did. This is kind of a nuanced thing with centers, but, you know, that snap hand, you know, how quickly they can snap the ball and get it back into the fight and get it back up, you know, is an underrated trait that I look for in centers. And I thought his hand quickness was phenomenal. He was really good with his hands, getting back up into the fight and pass protection and getting his hands inside the frame of guys. So I really liked him. You know, I thought, you know, he was a better center prospect, you know, because he only started two games at Iowa at left guard. So, you know, naturally I've only seen him really play center primarily, so I liked him there. But it seems like he might start out at left guard first, which, you know, that's fine. It's just going to be a little bit of an adjustment. But I love the fit, you know, in Chicago with what they're probably going to do with more of a zone-based scheme. And then to play under Harry Heinsted, you know, from Notre Dame, I mean, one of the best offensive line coaches in the country. So, yeah, I mean, he's in a great spot and he has good length. Another thing, you know, very good length. And he's only 20 years old. So, yeah, definitely an awesome prospect to get in the second round. I thought that was great value.
Well, we know there's a lot to like about the James Daniels pick, but coming up next on Locked On Bears, I'll have Brandon get through some of the weaknesses in James Daniels' game, and we'll also talk about sort of his transition from center to the left guard spot in Chicago. That's coming up next on Locked On Bears. For someone who's never played on the offensive line, and I don't know what positions you played, how much of an adjustment is there from guard to center, or from center to guard, excuse me, because, you know, it's one thing when we talk about going from the left side to the right side, and you have to change that muscle memory and what hand you use for everything, but centers kind of have that flexibility to use either hand. I mean, I'm guessing he snaps with his right hand, so then going to left guard, is he flipping his hand and footwork, or at center, do you have to be, you know, ambidextrous to be able to block both sides? And does that then make it easier to go to guard?
That's, you know, it's an interesting question. I think, you know, for the most part, it's, you know, case by case basis. He did play two games at left guard, and I'm sure he practiced there, you know, relatively high amount. But yeah, I definitely think it's easier than going, you know, switching sides, like you mentioned. I think that that's very underrated in terms of how difficult it can be, you know, because you are switching the side of your body that you're predominantly using. So, yeah, I'm not too worried about it though. I think, you know, at center though, I mean, you know, it's more of a mental game, I think, at center, you know, especially if you're making line calls, you know, having to identify the Mike linebacker and that, you know, adjust, you know, running schemes and then also pass protection. You know, calling different things and seeing different things. I think you have to be a little bit more mentally in the game and a little bit more aware at center. So maybe a little bit easier in that regard, a little bit less for him to handle mentally moving to guard. But physically, it's pretty similar, you know. He's going to have to really face a lot of, you know, high-level three techniques. You know, I think three technique might be the deepest position in the NFL right now. There's so many good three techniques right now, and guys that even play, you know, head up two technique or even two eye technique. So there's a lot of phenomenal players there. So I think that just the level of competition is probably going to be the biggest thing in general. And then, you know, maybe a little bit of a less mental game for him. And that's kind of what, you know, makes sense to me to put him at left guard, you know, because you do want to kind of lessen that mental load that he has to carry and kind of give that to Whitehair instead. So that makes sense, you know, in that regard.
Do you think at left guard, his lack of strength is masked a little bit more in the sense that, like, traditionally we think of one techniques and nose tackles in general being the bigger, stronger, more powerful drive, you know, or I guess power rushers and defenders, whereas the three techniques are more your quick, athletic, one-gap penetrators, or is that less of a truth and more of just a perception?
I think you're on to something there. I mean, but at the same time, you know, you have three techniques like Geno Atkins, Grady Jarrett. Even though these guys are maybe a little bit lighter, they are very, very powerful, you know, specifically because of the leverage they play with, and they have incredible power. And but you also have guys like, you know, Fletcher Cox, who play a lot of three technique. And that guy's massive, and he's also powerful and a crazy athlete. So I don't know. Right now, you know, I did defensive tackles for Bleacher Report this past year. I ranked 104 of them in the NFL. And, you know, there's so many different body types. But ultimately, I just think there's so many great players there. And there's a variety, you know. So generally, yeah, more quicker up the field penetrating types. But at the same time, a lot of their body types are pretty special to where they have that crazy blend of size and speed. You know, Kawan Short is another one that comes to mind, who is just a massive, powerful dude. So, you know, I mean, it's going to be tough. And then in that division, you know, I mean, he's going to be going against, you know, Sheldon Richardson, who's a very good defensive tackle. You know, guys like Kenny Clark, Mike Daniels, So there's a lot of guys in that division. What's that?
And Mo Wilkerson, too, in Green Bay now?
Yeah, Mo Wilkerson. Yeah, so there's a lot of good interior defensive linemen, I think, in that division. So, you know, it's going to be fun to watch, but he's surrounded by good players, I think. I mean, Leno's a solid player, but, you know, to have a guy like Whitehair and, you know, I think, you know, very smart player, good mental processing, very good outside run blocker, zone run blocker. I think it's going to be fun what they can do in the zone run game because they have two guys right there in Whitehair and Daniels who really are excellent, I think, at reach blocking, you know, getting their hips and their hands around guys. You know, both shaded players, but I mean, I saw Daniels at Iowa not only reach, you know, one techniques with ease, but I saw him get as far out into three techniques from the center position, you know, and that speaks to the athleticism I mentioned earlier, but also that hip flexibility, hand usage, stuff like that. So I think it's going to be a lot of fun, you know, to watch them run that outside zone, you know, with Daniels, Whitehair, and Long on the interior. That's one of the better interiors, I think, right now in the NFL. But again, it's in a division with a lot of competition, so should be fun.
Yeah, I want to get to the Bears offensive line as a whole really in a second here. But one last thing with Daniels, this lack of sort of core strength and play strength, you know, when he coming out of a program like Iowa that's produced a lot of NFL offensive linemen, a lot of NFL offensive linemen that come in pretty strong and pretty firm. Some of the, you know, you kind of hear like the farm boys that end up going to Iowa. When you look at guys translating to the NFL that come in with maybe not quite as much strength as you'd like to see, especially coming from a program like this, do you think the idea that an NFL weight room can add bulk to people, do you think that's going to apply in this type of situation? Because it seems like sometimes we assume that, and maybe if they're coming from a smaller program, then the NFL weight program is going to be significantly different. But do you think coming from Iowa and having been there 3 years, I know he's only 20 years old, but can we expect the NFL weight training program to make that significant of a difference? Because I think in Chicago, we've been scared a little bit by Hronus Grasu, who had similar weight and similar strength issues coming out of Oregon. And I think now 3 years into the league, it hasn't really improved for him. So how optimistic would you be about Daniels getting stronger in the NFL?
Yeah, you bring up a great point. I think the NFL weight room thing is overrated for sure, especially from guys, you know, who are coming from programs like that. You know, I think you hit it on the head, you know, with mentioning if you have a D2 guy or something coming into an NFL program, that's different. But, you know, so I wouldn't expect that specifically to move the needle a ton. But like you mentioned, Daniels is only 20 years old. So he definitely, I would expect him to get stronger just based on that. And also I think his strength, like I said earlier, was solid to, you know, good to above average. I mean, I saw, if you watch an Ohio State game, I mean, he was moving their defensive tackles all over the field. I mean, he was taking them to the sideline. I mean, he was driving them all over the field. So I don't think his play strength is like, you know, this glaring issue, but if I was to nitpick him and to find something, okay, like what are his weaknesses, if he did have any, that would probably be the one. So while I do think that is in for him personally something that he can improve upon the most, I do think that he's at a level right now where I don't think he's, you know, like Grasu or anything like that coming out of Oregon. I think he's further along than that. And I think definitely when I look at his frame and his build, I think that he has room to get stronger and to add some weight. And I really look at a guy, you know, in terms of generating movement, it's not all just raw strength and power either. A lot of it is technique and leverage. So if you can bend at the hips and the ankles and you can achieve that low pad level and you're good with your hands, you're going to be able to move guys. So, you know, as long as you have, you know, I guess just like a baseline of, you know, average strength, you can move guys. So I think, you know, continually to, you know, getting better with his technique and also just getting naturally a little bit bigger and stronger, you know, because of his age, I think he'll be fine. So it's interesting, though. I think that's a great point about the weight room thing for sure.
Well, Bears general manager Ryan Pace didn't seem too concerned about Daniels' strength either. He talked after the draft about, you know, all of his draft picks, and we played that audio clip of Ryan Pace talking about James Daniels back on our Saturday, April 28th episode of Locked On Bears, bringing you the initial reaction after day two of the draft. If you haven't heard that one, make sure you go back and listen to that when you're done with this episode. Coming up next with Brandon Thorne, we'll take a step back and look at this Bears offensive line with all five starters and kind of get a feel for where they stand as a group heading into the 2018 season, and also when you kind of compare them to the rest of the NFL. Keep it locked on Locked On Bears. So when we look at this Bears offensive line as a whole, you were starting to rave a little bit there about the interior guys. You mentioned that you like Charles Leno. I think there's a perception, specifically among Bears fans, that Charles Leno isn't very good. And I don't know if anyone's going to say he is a top five left tackle in the NFL or anything, but in terms of the span of the NFL, what range or what tier of left tackles would you put Charles Leno in, and how valuable is that compared to other left tackles in the NFL and sort of the value of that position?
Yeah, I mean, Leno's, like I mentioned, I said he's solid, and I think, he's about average. He's not a guy that I think by any means is top five or even top 10. Last year he was probably somewhere in the 15 to 20 range, I think, which, definitely in today's NFL, I think offensive tackle more than, the guards or the centers is struggling mightily. Tackle is, if you have a guy like Leno at tackle, I think you should be definitely content with that as a fan, because if you look around the league and you go through left tackles and right tackles, it could be a lot worse. So, I know that that's maybe not the greatest compliment ever, but I do think that he's definitely serviceable. I think he's a little bit better of a pass protector than a run blocker. But he's pretty underrated, I think. I think he's growing too. And really his hand usage, because I've watched probably about six or seven Bears tapes last year. I mean, I watched almost every Cody Whitehair game of the year because he was one of my favorite guys coming out of Kansas State. And, of course, I watched Sitton and Long. But when I did watch Leno, I think his strike timing as a pass protector and even in the run game and hand placement, variance with his hands, being able to mix, hand techniques up, grip strength, really his hands, I think, are the thing that needs to improve the most. I think he's kind of inconsistent with that, but otherwise I like him. I think he's probably just a solid all around guy who's kind of ascending a little bit. So that's kind of what I feel about Leno.
So when you look at this Bears offensive line and you add Daniels in, you get your lineup, Leno, Daniels, Whitehair, Long, and Bobby Massey at right tackle. What's your level or what would be your level of confidence in this line heading into the season? I mean, there's some inconsistency there at right tackle with Massey. You're plugging in a rookie at left guard, and Kyle Long even has had some injury issues in the last couple of years. But from an outside perspective, how confident would you be in this Bears offensive line as a whole?
I'd be pretty confident. I mean, I think they definitely have a really good chance of being like a top 16 unit in that top half of the league, maybe pushing like top 12 or so. Something like that, at the high end of things. But, I'm going to sit down, this summer and probably rank all the offensive lines, or at least maybe do like a top 10 list like I did last year and kind of entering the season. And just looking at them, I mean, Kyle Long, I think, is one of the best guards in the league. But like you said, extensive injury history. So, but with that aside, just, if you're assuming that Long is going to be there day one and, just not really – assuming he's going to get hurt again, I think you have probably a top five, top six right guard in the NFL there. And then Whitehair, he's a guy, his play strength, I think, is his probably his biggest issue as well. You watched the Packers tape last year. I know they played him twice, but I know one game, I mean, Kenny Clark basically ate his lunch. That was a rough tape for Whitehair. But at the same time, Whitehair, he played left guard, right guard, and center last year. Never could really establish any of that consistency, at one position. So I do like him at center the most. And I think he's a very good outside zone run blocker in terms of reach blocking, lateral displacement of the defense, getting to the second level, all that stuff. He's very good with his hands, technically sound player, good mental processing. So I like Whitehair probably even more than a lot of guys do. And then James Daniels, top four offensive lineman in the whole draft, in my opinion. So to put him at left guard, even if it's a position he's not super familiar with, I feel really good about that interior overall. And the tackles are both probably average. So, if you look across the landscape in the NFL, I think if you said, you have a top five, top eight interior offensive line with a couple average tackles, I think you would, feel very good about that, after looking at all 32 units in the NFL. So, like I said, I think they're probably a top half of the, top 16 or so unit entering the league. That's kind of how I look at them, at least.
And when you do end up ranking offensive linemen, is that going to go up over at the Scouting Academy or through NDT Scouting or somewhere else?
NDT, most likely.
And what do you do at the Scouting Academy? What are you in charge of there, and what's your typical day-to-day role like? And really, tell us a little bit more about the Scouting Academy as a whole.
Yeah, so, just to tell you a little bit more about it, I guess. Dan Hatman, is the director and founder of the Scouting Academy, a former NFL scout for the Jets, Eagles, and Giants. Won a Super Bowl with the Giants. Just really a great guy. He reached out to me when he saw that I was an aspiring scout 3 years ago or so. And he couldn't be more gracious with his time. Very, very knowledgeable, smart guy. And just somebody I really look up to. So he really took me under his wing, and he does that for almost everybody though. I'm not the only one by any means. He's a mentor to a lot of people. So I think you got to start there with the people, and then the people that he has, gotten to work with them, in terms of the coaches, the scouts, the executives that are associated with the Scouting Academy are very impressive. We have Howard Mudd teaching offensive line. Stuff like that. But also Dan, is very knowledgeable at all the positions. He has guys like Lewis Riddick who are heavily involved. So just a lot of great instructors, for every position. We've had, Ernest Biner teach running backs, Mike Sullivan, teach receivers, and just, a lot of great teachers, I guess. And I think the biggest thing that the Scouting Academy gave me, aside from the mentorship, is really like I have a duplicatable, streamlined process to evaluate players now. And that's the biggest thing that I took from the Scouting Academy. I still use the reports, the note pages that they gave us that they specifically made, like how to identify certain traits. I use those for every evaluation I do to this day. And I just feel like every time I sit down and actually want to evaluate a player, I have like a specific process to go through. And that made me such a better evaluator, because before it was sort of, I wasn't as structured, So that was the biggest thing. And then what I do, I manage the social media accounts. I make all the videos. We have a huge video library of how to identify certain traits for every position. I've made all those videos. And then I do the podcast, weekly with Dan, and then the live classroom at the Senior Bowl every year, which is an invite-only thing that we invite the top students to, and we put on a big classroom throughout the week in Mobile, Alabama, where all the students come, and we have, GMs come in there, scouts, coaches, everything, and they come in and talk to us, watch film with us. So me and Dan put that event on. And then we're also going to be probably expanding to other bowl or other all-star events this upcoming year, hopefully getting into some of those as well. And I'll be with Dan putting those together and, just kind of, handling logistics and stuff like that. But mainly it's the social media type stuff that I do with them, and some behind the scenes stuff with the classroom and organizing, instructors and stuff like that. So really just Dan's right hand man. Whatever he needs, I'm there to do.
Well, your background is certainly impressive. And like I said at the top, it really does validate a lot of your opinions on not only the offensive line, but the entire draft and the defensive lineman that you did for Bleacher Report. So Brandon, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on the podcast. I really appreciate your insight on Daniels and the Bears offensive line.
Awesome, man. It was fun. Thanks a lot for having me.
Well, I hope you're feeling just a little bit better now about the Bears offensive line than you were before this podcast started, or maybe it just kind of confirmed some of your own thoughts about the growth of this unit. We talked so much on this podcast about how important it is to prioritize the blockers up front for Mitchell Trubisky and Jordan Howard and Tariq Cohen. And like we talked about right after the draft picks, I was a big fan of this move to fulfill such a big position of need. And I really think Brandon kind of justified and verified some of my own feelings about the growth of this Bears offensive line. If you enjoyed our conversation, be sure to hit that subscribe button on the podcast. We will be bringing you more great conversations like this. We'll be breaking down all the different angles of this Bears draft and how it's going to apply to this 2018 season. You can also keep up with Locked On Bears on social media. You can follow me on Twitter at CoxSports1, C-O-X Sports 1. And like I said, you can get more offensive and defensive line analysis from Brandon Thorne at Veteran Scout. And you can always get your fix of Bears analysis with Locked On Bears. That's why we tell you to keep it locked on Locked On Bears. Keep coming back for more this week. Keep coming back all off season, because we're going to find ways to give you your fix and your little slice of Chicago Bears football. And I really feel like the only way to get through this long off season of May, June, July, until training camp finally comes around, what you gotta do is bear down.